Matthew chapter 10, it's on page 1017. Chapter 10, reading from verses 1 to 16. Jesus sends out the 12. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth. It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. May God bless this reading to us.
Pray for John as we start the message this morning. Lord, we lift John to you. Please give him wisdom and authority. Put on his heart the words he needs to speak to us to lead us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. So nice to see you. It's good to be able to come and to gather as God's people. And so a special welcome for those who are visiting with us today or here for the first time. It's good to have you here, and we just delight to be able to be together and to worship God. Now, before I get into what I'm going to say, just want to let you know our community minister, Ron, as you know, is unwell. And so we've got a card for him. I know some of you have been in to see him and taken cards and done that. But we just thought it would be really nice as a church to be able to sign something and give it to him. And so that will be down the back. And before you leave the service this morning, please sign that and put a wee message to him perhaps. There's a verse in Scripture. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up to him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. The last bit of that's really important. As each part does its work, every one of us in Christ, has something to do. Every one of us in Christ has something to be able to share. Every one of us in Christ has something to be able to contribute into the life of the church. I went to went out shopping yesterday. Among other shops that I went into, one of them was Hannah's, looking for some shoes. And if you've been into Hannah's recently and you look at the advertising they have there, and even on the bag when you come out, it says on it, "We are family." It's really interesting the way businesses within our community want to tie in and link in to this idea of being together, of being family. I went in for a pair of shoes. I came out with a whole new family. So we're looking at this 40 days of community course. And the aim of the course is to help us understand more of what it means to be community and to be able to work together towards being a better and stronger community and to be able to act, to do things as a community that show something of our faith, something of our walk with Christ, and to be able to do that together. As a church, we have this focus because community is really very much at the heart of our faith. It's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Theologian Edmund Clowney said that he had found 80 metaphors, word pictures of what it means to be the church in the Bible. And a lot of these are relational. A lot of them are about how we are together. And some of them speak of being a family, or a building, or a temple, or a holy nation, or a priesthood, or a house. All of these images of us being together. And then when you look at the New Testament, you also find the way that Jesus gathered his disciples together. He gathered them around him. He bound them together as members of the church. He sent them out together. It all points to the togetherness that Jesus wanted us to have, and which was very important for Jesus. The same thing in the early church. They met together. They worked together. They ministered together. It reveals the communal nature of the church. It seems pretty obvious, doesn't it, when you come together, that actually we've come to lift our voices in praise. We have come to pray together. We've come to share in fellowship together. We've come to hear God's word opened and proclaimed together. There's a sense of unity and togetherness. What more can you say? It's about being together, isn't it? As God's people. It's pretty much self-evident there. And in this 40 days of community course, we focus on this togetherness, where we share life together, where we reach out together, where we grow together, where we worship together. And this week, we're focusing on how we serve together. Notice it's serving together and not simply serving. I suppose there are some instances when something needs to be done, we're just there and we do it on our own and it gets done. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about us serving together. The sense in which we are drawn together as a body to work together, to be a team, to do things together. It's a community activity. It involves more than one person. It unites us as a team. Serving together takes our faith to a new level. Serving together, in many respects, is where a ministry meets the road. You see, you can sit at home and you can look at the Bible and think, oh, this patience, that's a good idea. You know, I think it'd be really nice to have some patience. But it's a different matter when you actually are serving with someone and you're waiting 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes for them to turn up with a trailer and all the stuff's on it. That's when you know what patience really is, when it comes out of the theory and starts to get practiced. Or you read in the Bible, it's good to have self-control. And you think, that's a marvelous idea. But when you're actually with some people and there's a bit of friction starting up, we should do it this way, no, we should do it the other way, I'm not going to do things if you don't do things my way, then we've got to work out, how does self-control come into this? What am I going to do? What am I going to decide to do? How am I going to react into that sort of situation? Can I be a person who is self-controlled in what I do? It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where we apply our faith. It's where we put the stuff we have learned about Christ, about God, about church into practice. When we do these things, we begin to see that Christian virtues are not simply a nice idea to think about. It's then that we discover how deep our reservoir of love is, how deep our reservoir of patience is, whether it's just something fluffy that we've been thinking about or whether it is deep in our hearts and deep in our lives. Will it last an hour? Will it last a day? Will it last a month? How will these things work in our lives? And when we start working together, that's when we begin to find out whether or not we have love for others, whether or not we're able to be kind and gentle. Now, I don't say this to put you off the idea of serving together. This all sounds pretty negative so far. I've told you how hard it is and how working together can really test you. But the good thing about this is when it happens, it helps you to grow. It helps God to develop stuff within your heart and your life so that you become more and more mature in your faith. It helps you to become grounded and to realize that what you have read in the Bible, it really is true. It really does work. It worked for me in this situation. I wonder what your first memory of a Christian act of service might be. All of us. And I feel humble talking about service here today because I know that there are many people here who have served God for 40, 50, 60 years, still going strong in their service of God. It's a little bit daunting to talk about service knowing that so many of you know and have put into practice so much about service. And also, there are some at the beginning of this life of service, and there stretches out before them all these opportunities to do what God will call them to do. And it is just so good to be able to do that. So I don't want to put you off the idea of service, but rather I want to encourage you in it because it really does make a difference. It really does help us grow. It really does unite us as a body. And so to return to that question, I wonder what your understanding, what your memory of your first act of service might be. For me, this was with a youth group when I was about 15 or 16. Our youth leader organized for us to go and dig the garden of an older lady who was unwell. This was not my first choice as a teenager for something to do on a Saturday morning when the sun was shining. It would take someone like a youth leader to be able to rally us around and to get us to go out and do that and spend 2 or 3 hours in someone's garden. And you know me, gardening is just not something that I enjoy at all. So he did this, but the thing that I remember from this is just how satisfying, how fulfilling, how good it was to be able to work alongside others and to feel that we had achieved something together for someone else. Perhaps for you, you might remember coming with parents to a church and putting out Bibles or putting out notices. Or maybe as a teenager, you joined the Sunday school team and you were helping to teach the children. You were cutting out stars or helping them with glitter, something like that. An area in which you served. And perhaps you've got a precious memory of people that you served with. Service by its very nature is often something that goes unnoticed. It can be a bit of a drag in some ways when you're sort of thinking, does no one notice what I do around this place? But for many people, actually, the fact that it goes unnoticed is quite helpful for them because they don't want to be in the limelight. They don't want to be on the stage. Ask them to come and lead in prayer and they would, no, I can't do that. But ask them to do something in the background and they shine and they blossom because that's the area that they feel that they are gifted in. When I have help people to discover their spiritual gifts, a large percentage of people, as their primary gift, have the gift of service. And they can think of nothing better than to just serve somewhere, to make the cuppa, not to be seen, but to be in the kitchen there and put the water in the kettle or to come on a morning and to vacuum the carpet and to tidy the place up. That's the sort of service that they feel that they want to be engaged in and be a part of a team in doing that, not up front where everyone sees them. And because this gift of service is a gift that so many people have, it's not something that stands out so much. It's not a flashy sort of a gift, but it's a hugely, hugely important sort of a gift. Do you know, I tend to think when we get to heaven, one of the first groups of people that Jesus will want to talk to are the people who've prepared the cup of tea. It says in the scripture, "I was thirsty and you gave me a drink." It's just so important that we serve each other in these ways. And although they may not be seen by many, they are seen by our Lord. And when we serve others, we end up, in fact, serving Him. Our understanding of Christian service changes when we reflect on the fact that Jesus came as a servant, and we refer to Him as the servant King. And this puts things in a different perspective when we realize that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came among us as a servant, even washing our feet. That puts service in a different way of thinking. If we join Christ in His service, how glorious that is, even though it may in some respects seem to us to be menial, in His eyes it is so, such a blessing. Well, when Rick Warren, and we're doing this course, 40 days of community, following in Rick Warren's course with this, he speaks about service and the idea of being together in a team. And so the T of team is trust. And if we're going to serve together, then we need to build up trust. You need to know that the other people in the team are going to do what you've asked them to do or what they've agreed to do. And so that when you turn up ready to do something on a Saturday morning and they're the ones that have got the trailer and they're bringing it, you've got to be able to trust that they're going to do that. They're going to be there in time. They're going to remember to put the tools in the back and have everything ready. And also they've got to trust when they get here with all that gear that you're actually going to be here and do what you have agreed to do. It's so important to build up this idea of trust. Jesus entrusted His mission to the 12 disciples, and we heard this in our reading today. And so here were this team of people, and when you read about them, you sort of wonder, why on earth did He choose these guys? They just seem to be such a mix of people that make mistakes along the way. And yet He comes and He trusts them with the mission, and He sends them out. And when they come back, He rejoices with them in what they have done. And then a little bit later on, when there's more disciples, He sends out 72. He trusts them with the mission. And they go out and they do the mission. They come back and there's celebration. And then even later, there's the entrusting His work to us all in the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so He gives to us, He gives to the disciples, He gives to the church, He trusts us with this mission. And then as we look in the early church, we see the apostles, and they were busy with the praying, they were busy with the proclamation, and all this work came up. What do we do with our resources? Because some people need these resources, and some feel they're not getting them the way that they should. They took that task, and they entrusted it to seven spiritual men, and they gave it to them to look after and to do. And again, when we look at Paul, we see the way that he entrusts mission to others. And so lots of people are becoming involved. And last week we were reading in Romans chapter 16, where Paul mentions 27 different people who were involved in mission with him. And you can see the way that he respects them and trusts them, and they have played a part in the mission together. The issue is not simply, can we trust others, but are we trustworthy? Can people trust us? And this is something that we need to look at in our own hearts and lives. One of the things that Rick Warren says is that you need to be consistent. And he points to the verse of Jesus that says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." And maybe in the life of the church, you've been entrusted with a little. And if you work well with that, perhaps you're trusted with a little more and a little more and a little more. But we know what it's like if you give someone something to do and they don't do it. If no one turns up for the cup of tea, if no one's there to welcome people as they come into church, we think we need to find someone else to do these things because the other person then can't be trusted. We need to be consistent so that when we say we will do something, that we actually go ahead and do it. I suppose if you don't pay your bills for a month, People may be gracious to you and give you a little bit more time to pay them, but you try doing it for two, not paying for 2 months or for 3 months, they'll switch off your power, they'll turn off your telephone. You won't get away with that for very long. You've got to keep your end of the bargain. You've got to do what you have said you will do. And it's the same in church life. You've got to be trusted and trustworthy. The E is empathy. And this is understanding each other's feelings. We need to spend a bit of time to get to know each other. Just to slow down. To listen to each other. To really hear what is being said. We all know what it's like to have conversations at a real, but perhaps a shallow level, and what it is then to sit down with someone and to talk more deeply about life. We understand these things, and so we need to take the time to understand, to be able to hear, to be able to take on board what's happening with others. So perhaps someone is suffering from depression, and they share that with you. They're trusting you with something about themselves, and you may be able to go alongside and to encourage them. Or perhaps they speak of a family member who's been unwell, and you begin to understand their situation, why things are happening in their life, why perhaps they weren't able to do something as well as they had hoped because they were visiting family and needing to take care of them. We begin to understand, we begin to feel with them these things. Or perhaps if someone is expecting a child and they tell us about it, and we begin in that sense of anticipation with them, waiting for that joyful day and that birth or a promotion, and so we enter into celebration with them. It's that we get to know each other well enough to feel each other's feelings, to know what's going on in each other's lives. And that's why it's so important to be part of a small group, because in a small group we can do that more easily. It takes time to build that relationship with others, to ask questions about others, questions that we are genuinely interested in. How is your family? How have things been going at work? Taking the time to listen to those things. And if we're going to do that, then we need to open up when people ask us. If we don't open up to them, why would they open up to us? If we are always guarded ourselves, but always asking other people questions, that sounds more like we're prying. But if we open up our lives to them as they open up their lives to us, that becomes then friendship. The A is accommodation and making space. Making space for people in our lives. We are all busy. Our calendars are all full. But in a sense, we need to make some space in the midst of that for each other so that we can have the time to sit down, the time to have a coffee, the time to draw alongside people and to accommodate them, to make space in our lives for them as they make space in their lives for us. On a practical side, we need to make physical room for each other. If you haven't been able to see it yet, as you're leaving the church today, have a look in the creche. Done a wonderful job there in the creche, getting that ready to accommodate families with young children or nursing mothers. Just lovely in there with the little stickers on the wall and the toys. It's so good that we prepare that for people and we make room for people. And for our youth group, making room for them here when they're meeting on a Sunday afternoon. Accommodating people, making space. Have you seen our new library? This is so good. It was up in the church. We've brought it down. If you've got a moment afterwards, just go through into the McPherson room there and have a look. The library there is so good. I'm sure Elizabeth would love you just to take a book or two. Take them home and read them. It's accommodating people and people's needs. And the M is mission. At Greyfriars, we have a mission to help people know and follow Jesus. And in our partnership with Epsom, we will be talking together about that and finding our way forward as two congregations come closer together. But it's really important to have a mission so that we're all aimed in the same direction, all have a sense of purpose, that we know that even though we may be in different groups and doing slightly different things, that we're on a parallel course and we're working together towards that one end. We're complementing each other in what we're doing. To help us do this and with our mission, one of the things that's really important to us is the sense of being a spiritually healthy church. And for those of you who are new you may not have seen this before, but this is something that we return to time and time again. What is it to be a spiritually healthy church as we come together? And the one at the bottom is what we're talking about today, serving with compassion. This is something that we need to be doing among each other at the church and in our wider community. It's so, so important to be able to serve together, because that is a part of our spiritual health. If you're not involved in service, you're denying yourself, you're denying the church, you're not growing as you should, and you will not be as spiritually healthy as you could be, and neither will we as a church if you withhold your service from us. Well, I want to ask you as I come towards a close, can you imagine our church increasingly becoming a team where trust is strengthened, where there's real empathy and we have a sense of each other's situations and understand each other, where we accommodate each other and make room for each other in our lives, and where we're pulling together in mission? You see, such a church could make a real difference in this community. It could really change things in the place that we live. In our church together, there would be deepening relationships and stronger bonds and caring support in times of need and a sense of real achievement as we do things together and the success that we share. And then in our wider community, if we are modeling what it is to have healthy relationships, people will be drawn to see that, because they will want their relationships restored and healed to be like those that we are sharing together. And imagine the good that we could be doing in our community if we contribute to that life together, accommodating the needs of families through mainly music or through our play group, holding out the gospel to people so that they can find peace and forgiveness in their lives, or offering them a place where they can come into a safe environment to really understand the meaning of life and the Christian perspective on life, the resources that we could put into that, or as a church, doing something that the community is already involved in. Perhaps if we did something for the hospice, maybe getting some toys for children who go in to see grandparents, or perhaps even parents who are in that final stage of their lives. Perhaps there's a school playground that needs a group to go and just pick up the rubbish so that the kids can play there in a clean place, or to go to a beach and help people to tidy that up. I know there are good things that happen in our church, and people are involved in different ways, in different teams that make things good for our community. And so one of our people here, Tristan, went overseas, a doctor helping people with, what's that called again? Cleft palate. And over there and helping children who wouldn't have been helped before, and gathering a team around him. Or Grant is going with a team to Cambodia to build Habitat for Humanity homes. People in our congregation who are doing good things together, doing worthwhile things together, where we can connect with the community and people in our community. It makes such a difference. Maybe some of those things seem too big for you, but we could do smaller things like helping in our playgroup ministries, or being someone who would welcome, open the doors of the church and welcome people in and give them a brochure on Sunday. Someone who would come and set up the chairs. Doesn't take long. We can set up the chairs, be a part of a team to do that. Or at Epsom, there's a waiting list to be in mainly music, build up their team so that they could have more people attending. All these things that we could be a part of serving together. But one of the great things about 40 days of community is that people are coming up with these ideas, and I hope you are. And what I want to invite you to do in a couple of weeks' time, when we have Palm Sunday, we're going to have a celebration service. And perhaps something out of the 40 days of community, you've got something you would like to share, something that's helped you or helped your group. Start thinking about it so that you can contribute to our service then. When you think about 40 days of community, when you think about all the service that's happening in this church, when you think about the way the team has been together to bring this hall up to standard, to do the library, to do the creche. It's all very encouraging. It gives us a sense of achievement, momentum. It enables us to grow and learn. It enriches our spiritual lives, and we're putting our faith into practice. So let's rejoice. Let's rejoice and be glad. God is here. God is working out his purpose among us. God is doing good things in our church and in our community. And together we are fulfilling the calling he has given us. Together, and I love this, we are delighting our Heavenly Father when he sees us doing the things he has called us to do. When we are engaged in acts of kindness and service, it sends ripples. It sends ripples throughout our church family, ripples of love, ripples of kindness throughout our church family and out into the community and even into eternity. That here are things that have been done here and now by the people who meet in this place to worship. Of eternal significance. Let us pray. Let us pray. Our Lord, we are so glad that you have called us to be your people and that you give us opportunity to serve you. Lord, I thank you for each one who is here today, for those who have walked with you for many years and have served you long and faithfully, and for those who are beginning this journey. And for those in the middle of this journey, Lord, I thank you for people who know you, who love you, who are willing to put their faith into practice. Lord, help us in this week ahead to serve you fully, to hear your voice and to know what you're calling us to. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. Amen.